Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening anywhere, and you can come over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net and join the conversation, come on over. The studio cam is on. There's a little view window there in the right-hand column where we have the video screen there, so you can watch a little screen of me. You can make it any size you want, but nothing special to see here. It's just something to do once a week to turn on the studio cam and join you face-to-face. Although I don't get to see your faces, at least you can see mine. And I can hear from you, comments, questions, anything you'd like to put in the chat room, even taking calls if you know how to talk on a telephone. If you don't know how to talk on a telephone, wait until you learn how, please. Yes. Okay, what do we have today? Well, we have a scripture reference here today, and let's see. Matthew 10:16, reading from that point on. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth till the end shall be saved. Now these are dire words that our master is giving his disciples here. And we can take these words and apply them to the times we live in. We realize he was not speaking to us, at least not directly. He was speaking to his disciples, who would become his apostles and found his church. And that's what he was looking forward to. But here we are, 2,000 years later, the disciples of the disciples of the apostles, reading the same word, you know, as much as they had then. And many of them wrote the word. But there's a lot to be learned here, and we'll talk about that today. Let's see. Welcome everyone in the chat room. Thank you for dropping by. It's good to see some people piled in there. Okay, we have some news. We have some articles that we're going to look at in the first hour, news and articles, current events. And if you have any news you'd like me to comment on or look over in this first hour, go ahead and put a link to that news or article or item in the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. Click on the chat button there and put the link there or comments or questions. And I'll check there frequently to see if anything shows up. Now, my first article, as I put in the title when I published the invitation at my blog this morning for you to show up here, the title is Fake Vaccine IDs. Of course, now I misspelled vaccine on purpose there. It's not that I'm a horrible speller, but it's V-A-K-S-I-N-E. So like, you know, there are algorithms on some social media that are looking for the word, for certain words, and even if I say them correctly, if they have speech algorithms that look for certain words, you can get banned for saying the right or the wrong or even a correct thing, something that is true about certain topics. on certain platforms. So if you got to put something in print on one of those platforms, oh, but isn't that, yes, it kind of goes with our scripture verse, to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Because I think we still need to not quit all of these woke formats and platforms out there and social media, but we need to be wise as serpents when using them. I mean, I'm still using them almost every day. I'm posting stuff, truth, to point people in the truth so that they can make an informed decision about things that are happening and things that have happened, you know, to get some ideas of what's really going on out there, how mankind has an enemy, and the enemy of mankind has even inducted some of mankind into his army to help him defeat his fellow man, as well as defeat themselves. It's kind of, but these people are deceived or don't even know they're being used by the enemy. So it's our job to keep speaking the truth in a post-truth generation. Because that seems like that's what we're in, a post-truth generation. It's where that which is untrue seems to be dominant in the world at large, in the voices you hear out there. And also that goes right along with prophecy. And this final era, I call it the three frog-like spirit era that's leading up to the great day of God Almighty. You can read about that in the Revelation. So these three frog-like spirits got loosed to prepare. And what are these? These are spirits of deception, spirits of false prophecy. And they are flooding the earth and they're croaking louder and louder. You know, I think the symbol of a frog is a symbol for someone that is loquacious, that, you know, that likes to talk. So these three frog spirits, they can't shut up. And they never shut up. They never go away. They just get louder and louder. And as they get more people to join in their diatribe or their mantra or whatever you want to call it, it just gets louder and louder. And then that becomes all you hear. Even if the truth is stronger and the truth has substance to it, the lies and the deception of these false, these frog-like spirits becomes louder and louder. It's like, you know, getting closer to the pond of frogs. You get close enough and the frogs are so loud you can't hear yourself think, let alone the person next to you talk. So, kind of give you an idea about what those three frog-like spirits represent in the day that we're in. And as we near closer and closer to the end of the sixth millennia and the beginning of the seventh and the return of Jesus, the cacophony of this sound just, is just becoming overwhelming. Yeah. But we still have to resist. We still have to speak the truth. And so if you have to deceive by misspelling words or, as our topic says, fake vaccine IDs. Found an article, and I never heard of this guy who wrote this article, a biblical defense of fake IDs, fake vaccine IDs. And so there's this article here. It's certainly tempting to simply make the case by saying that a fake pandemic should have fake papers to accompany it. See, I'm already going to get banned on YouTube. So when I'm done with this broadcast, the YouTube video is going to be deleted immediately. And I will do it, okay? So that I can come back next week and give you another live broadcast on YouTube. Or on ThemTube, I should say. It's them. Because, you know, I'm a fisher of men. God has made us all fishers of men to a certain degree. You know, some of us don't have a ministry fishing. We got a regular job and we support ministries that fish. And that gets added to our treasure in God's kingdom. That, you know, the one that goes beyond the grave with storing up treasures in heaven. So you can do it that way. Plus, you can reach your own family and those, your friends around you, and with a word now and then about the gospel, or pointing them to a certain video, or posting stuff on your social media. See, you can do your little part. God's going to hold you accountable for whatever ability He's given you. So we all need to keep that in mind. Not that God needs us, but yeah, we need Him, and we need to do everything we can for His kingdom, for our own sake. Anyway, so continue with this article. And this article is DougWills.com. And I never heard of this guy before, so I guess he's supposed to be someone who's much more popular than I am, obviously, since other people are talking about this article. I had to look for it. So it's certainly tempting to simply make the case by saying that a fake pandemic should have fake papers to accompany it, but that would be too easy, far too glib. I already have severe critics who struggle with their tendency to be censorious, and that would frankly not help, so I won't start there. I like this guy's sense of humor. You know, he starts there, and then he says, so I won't start there. I love it, man. Anyway, this really is a challenging subject. So for those of you who want to study it more thoroughly, I would refer you to some things that I've written before on related and relevant subjects. You know, and I've covered this before. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And, you know, most people will bring up the 11th commandment. Everyone knows what the 11th commandment is, right? Yeah. I just tell them my dog ate my vax card. See, there, that's the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not lie. Got Jason in the chat room telling us a lie. Shame on you. You broke the 11th commandment. Haven't you heard that? Thou shalt not lie. But you know, I look, there's no such commandment, really. I'm just being facetious here, because the commandment that comes closest to thou shalt not lie is thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's a lot more wordy than thou shalt not lie. I think if God meant thou shalt not lie, I think he could have posted it that way on his list of 10 commands there. But he didn't. He said something else for a very good reason. And as we go through this article, we'll cover some of those reasons. But you get it. See, when we say, I believe that when Jesus said, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves, I think he was referring to using serpent technology, but not harming anybody by your use of the technology. Now, what if you had to lie to save someone's life? See, that would be a use of serpent, because Satan is father of lies. It's his technology, okay? Right? But is it always a sin to lie? Well, obviously not. You know, we have plenty of examples in the scripture. Can you still go to prison in the world of men if they don't like your policy and your worldview if you lie for perjury? Well, yes. Unless, of course, they like your lies. You know, we see examples of that all day long. All of these politicians lie to get into office. And speaking of lying to get into office, I think it should be made a crime that the people should be able to prosecute politicians who lie to get voted for, and then, and, you know, they say they're going to do something, and then they don't even do it. They don't even try to do it. They have no defense for their lie whatsoever, except I changed my mind, which is not really a defense. I tried, but I couldn't do it. There was too much, you know, the Antichrist has too much power in the world of government. And no matter how, I tried really hard. And here's all my evidence that I tried hard. Okay, we can exonerate you on that case. But, you know, if you said, read my lips, no new taxes, and you went and signed some new taxes, buddy, you should go to jail. Yeah. We should throw you in prison, take your salary away from you and your government pension plan away from you, and throw you into prison for perjury for a minimum of, say, 12 months. I think that would straighten a lot of things out in the government. But, you know, those that make the laws, they want to lie, so they're not going to pass those laws. And not only that, of course, they vote for their own salary. You know that Congress and the Senate, did you know that they get their salary, which is very high to begin with, but they get it for life. Even though they do something else and become very rich, they get it for life. Wow, that's wrong. That's because they're in charge and not the people. This is no longer a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Okay? So, anyway, let's get back to our article. There's a whole lot here to preach on, I'm telling you. Doug Wilson says, this is a really challenging subject. For those of you who want to study it more thoroughly, he wants to refer you to some other things. Here's something on black markets. And I guess I'll put a link in this in the chat room a little bit later on so you can check this article out for yourself. But I'm going to go back into, I'm going to jump past here. And the dryers, okay, I'm going to sketch where I believe we are in all this, he says, and then I will conclude with 7 principles to govern your possible use of fake IDs. You can jump ahead to that spoiler section if you like. Okay, where we are now. Scripture teaches us that deception destroys comity. This is why we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor, Exodus 20:16. Which I already referenced. We're not to lie to one another. Colossians 3:9, lying is corrosive. But when the Hebrew midwives deceived Pharaoh, they were not destroying any comity. Rather, they were recognizing that the comity had already been destroyed by his bloody decree. Someone else had preceded them and destroyed the comity already. This Pharaoh knew not Joseph and wasn't the midwives who brought about that forgetfulness. Okay. Consequently, the question before the house is whether we are in a comparable situation to the one the midwives faced. Are we gripping our way through a Truman? Okay. Well, he's making references to the past, which most people won't know what to deal with. Unless you know all about the presidential. But he goes on, for those benefit of those who know this, are we gripping our way through a Truman administration trying to make it to Eisenhower, but with a recognition that we all share basically the same society underneath? Or are we in an orcs and elves situation, or somewhere in between? In my evaluation, we are not yet in a hot civil war, with shooting and all. Well, that's obvious. It doesn't take much to evaluate that. But we are in a Cold War civil war, he says. And I would agree with that. That is obvious. Because the enemy has already taken the seat of government in America. The enemy has already taken the authority in the military. And most of the governments, and in all of the schools, the Antichrist in his shadow government seem to have complete power. But I don't believe they're a majority. I believe that we're about 50-50 split. It only appears as though they're winning because they get to lie, cheat, and steal. And we've already discussed that. They lie openly and get away with it. But if you lie openly, you can't get away with it because there's a law against perjury. But if you're lying and you're controlling those who make the judgments in the courts and who gets prosecuted and who doesn't, see, you can lie with impunity, whereas your opponents cannot. And thus we have the January 6th fiasco going on. All lies. Of course, everybody knows this is the case. So, I agree. We are in a cold civil war, basically, right now. We're not in a hot civil war. We're not fighting yet. Will we get there? We shall see. I think with one side remain, the other side, the liars trying to prod and goad, you know, the truth, and those that don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal, into trying to goad them into a hot civil war. And I believe they really would like it, but I'm not sure that they would win. But, you know, because all is fair, as they say, in love and war. But I'll go with the all's fair in war thing. All is not fair in love and war. I think Satan added that love part. But in war, all is fair, basically, when it comes to using technology. Yeah. Because in a war, you are to do harm to the enemy. So, Jesus says here, but, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So as long as we follow that as our main tactic, until we get into a hot war anyway, in a cold war as we are now, we have to be very careful that no one's harmed. And that should be easy, because none of us want to lie. We eschew lie. We hate it. We can't do it lightly. Amen. He says, I bring this continuing in our article here. Let me check the chat room here. Lying appropriately, does this dress make me look fat? Thanks for that, WW. Yeah, we'll get into the relationships between men and women. We're not talking about that at all today. That's a whole different subject, which I dare not tread on. I'll leave that to each individual relationship that's going on. You're going to have to get advice from someone a little closer to your situation if you're going to get into matters of love and relationships between your betrothed and you. I can't enter in onto that one. But anyway, he says, I bring this up because there's an optical illusion operating here. There will no doubt be a number of conservative evangelicals who will be horrified at what I argue for as lawful below. But I would argue that our differences are not over the ethics of the thing, but rather our differences over a question of fact. Just how diseased has our culture gotten? Well, I have to say we're getting up there. It's pretty diseased. These evangelicals don't have any qualms about Bonhoeffer's involvement in the plot against Hitler. Yes. Was Bonhoeffer involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler? Was that a bad thing? Well, it was war. See, all's fair in war when it comes to, you know, the getting rid of the do no harm thing, because war is about harming the enemy to put an end to the conflict and basically in the end save lives. Okay, we're going to pick this up when we get back from these messages, so make sure you get over to the chat room and put any comments, questions, etc. in there. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host. cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Fake IDs, oh my. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're looking at this article, A Biblical Defense of Fake Vaccine IDs. Imagine that. And anyway, we left off in this article here. These evangelicals don't have any qualms about Bonhoeffer's involvement in the plot against Hitler, or over Anne Frank's refusal to turn herself in, or Brother Andrew smuggling Bibles into closed countries. They wouldn't object if a man used fake papers to get his family out of Afghanistan right now. But this is America, they think. Land of the free and home of the slave. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't write that. He said land of the free and home of the brave. Yeah, well, it's becoming land of the fee and home of the slave. I look around. There's a fee on everything, and we've all been enslaved to some degree or another, because I have a landlord, you know, but I'm not supposed to have a landlord because I have to pay rent to the state. Everyone pays rent to the state. Either that or you're homeless. And who's more enslaved than the homeless, begging bread on the streets and getting handouts from the government? Yeah. Or free housing from Governor Newman. Nuisance. Yeah. To be no more, hopefully. America, where the Baronelle Stutzman, where Baronelle Stutzman can have her slam dunk religious liberty case go all the way to the Supreme Court and lose there. Where two dudes can get married and another dude who works at their company can get fired because they didn't want to come to their wedding shower. Where Planned Parenthood can chop babies into pieces, sell the parts, all supported by tax monies, but the person who gets in legal trouble is a reporter who exposed that particular iniquity, and even the illegality of that particular iniquity, I might add. Our horrified evangelicals are those who, for some reason, still believe they are struggling through a Truman administration, a supposition that is contrary to both fact and reason. Okay? He goes on, so I would point out at the front end that conservative evangelicals generally don't differ on the ethics of this. I think he makes a good case there. The differences would arise in our evaluation of how dire our situation is. Now, see, I probably preceded this guy in how dire the situation was, because I stopped voting, you know, 20 years ago because I thought it was fruitless. I didn't believe it anymore. I believe I've been justified here in the last few years. Yeah. After 2016 and 2020, especially 2020, it's become plain as the nose on everybody's face that the election fixes are in. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to do something about it. I believe that we should always fight back. But when it becomes so plain that even those on the other side, the winning side, there are ethical people over there on the winning side, are having a hard time with it and aren't too happy right now, especially when they see how things are going. Okay, so the differences would arise in our evaluation of how dire our situation is. Does our situation call for this response yet? My answer to that is yes. And fortunately, but only fortunate for my argument, but not for the country, every day that passes here will only serve to reinforce my case. Things really are that dire. Well, I am glad that more people in the mainstream, at least in the Christian mainstream, are beginning to see it. It makes me very happy. I've been on the fringe for years because I've been seeing it for years in advance. As a matter of fact, I've took actions 20 years ago because something became very plain to me. That to participate in something that I was participating in before, because when I was a child, the people in charge of my welfare signed me up for that participation. But when I became a man, I understood that continued participation in an unlawful contract, and I mean unlawful by the law of God, okay, in a contract that violates God's law, for me, required a response, and that was withdrawing and no longer participating. And I'm glad I've done that today, especially when I see where we are today and what they will require from everyone that is participating in that. Says, what is he reading from? I'm reading from DougWills.com, an article from Doug Wilson. And I'll put a link in the chat room for, let's see. I'll put it in there now, as long as you don't go away. But half of what you're hearing is my comment on it. So, like I said, it's, let's see, paste. Here we go. So anyway, there's a link to the article if you must have it. So he says, things really are that dire. Defiance or deception? ? About 100 million Americans have refused the vaccine. That's a lot. Non-compliance is not something that is tucked away in a few obscure corners. The reasons for this non-compliance are many and variegated. Some are anti-vaxxers generally. Some are black, suspicious of government health mandates, and we can't even wonder why, given a little history. And some are pro-vaxxers who don't want to be experimented on. Thousands are nurses and doctors who don't want it because they see the reality of it. And others are simply public-spirited citizens who notice how many lies the government has told over the last year and a half. Once the extent of the non-compliance became glaringly obvious, our intelligentsia then decided to make everything better by calling us all morons, idiots, and poltrons. I don't know what a poltron is. That helps us all see the error of our ways. Well, that helped us all see the error of our ways, and we're all very sorrowful about it. Yeah. I like this guy's sense of humor. Yes, we're all very sorrowful about it. Not. But overarching everything was the obvious and naked nature of the power play that is being run. The Biden regime, and I'm glad he calls it a regime, okay, because it's what it is. That's so obvious. I mean, in no reality ever in the history of mankind, especially in recent history of the Western world, could we believe that this man got more votes than anyone in history from his basement. That just doesn't happen in real life. And, you know, to believe that this man actually believes that he truly got elected is a joke. How anyone could believe that, they would have to be totally deceived, not paying any attention whatsoever, or an idiot. So, pick your category. I don't have to say it. So the Biden regime has already floated the idea of restricting interstate travel for the unvaccinated. And how would you do that without papers, please? Checkpoints. checkpoints everywhere a road passes from North Dakota into South Dakota. Don't tell me I have a feverish imagination. I wasn't the one who brought it up. Bans on interstate travel for the unvaccinated wasn't my idea. And let me tell you something, and many of you, if you've been paying attention over the last 30 years, you'll notice that during the 1990s, a project that they completed about the turn of the century. So this is something that's been going on for a while. I noticed that, like I said, in the 1990s, about the turn of the century, I noticed something happening on all of the interstate and state highways in California. On all of the on-ramps, they were paving turnouts on the on-ramp between where you turn onto the on-ramp and you get onto the highway. There's a turnout. Check it out. Maybe you noticed that too. See? And I just thought, well, this can only be for one thing. See, this goes to show you that what I started seeing back in the 90s, right? And why I made the decisions I made. Because they're ready for papers, please, checkpoints on all state and interstate highways, okay? Because the states take money from the federal government. Therefore, the CHP is going to be helping, you know, the highwaymen out there that are out there to take money from you on the highway, doing a little policing while they're at it. And we thank God for at least the good that they're doing. But, you know, those that don't object, that don't quit their jobs, when the hammer strikes and they start their Mark of the Beast inquisitions, they're coming and they're ready. They've got a lot of stuff ready for it. So, bans on internet travel for the unvaccinated was Joe Biden's idea, or at least it came out of his mouth. So finally, it comes out at the top. If you don't see the power play that's being run, and which is the central point of all this, that's because the power play has already been run on you and has already worked. You have already been digested, and so I'm not writing any of this for you. Unless you wake up. Did I shake you and wake you up? Okay, this is a great article here. His next section, runaway truck ramps. Now, at the same time, I suspect the maestros who orchestrated this global panic, and all for nefarious purposes of their own, have gotten themselves into a bit of a tight spot. Well, you know, God did say there in chapter 2 of the Psalms that he would hold them in derision. Nothing's going to go smooth for them. They're going to have a lot of derision as they try to pull this thing off. And I'm talking about the power behind it all. Underneath all of their layers of culpable deniability is the Antichrist and his shadow government. You know, the Antichrist spread this lie and started this thesis, the end time Antichrist thesis, developed by the Jesuit Francisco Ribera about 1570. Okay. The thesis that the Antichrist was not in existence now because it was being declared openly by all Protestants then. They were losing members daily from the Catholic Church. Because people were quitting, because it became all too plain, because of all of the idolatry, the persecution, the Catholic Church was the great apostasy, and the papacy was the seat of the man of sin, also called the Antichrist. Okay, and that's what was being revealed daily. So they came up with an alternate version. And they said, no, the Antichrist is going to be a guy who shows up for the last 7 years of time. So no need to look for him now because you can't know who he is. And we can't know the Antichrist because he won't be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. Yeah. So they said the Holy Ghost is a restrainer, and they made up a whole thing there, called it futurism and dispensationalism. But the fact is, the Antichrist and his shadow government have been at work ever since then, and are working still now and basically are in control of all of the governments of the earth. They own Washington, D.C., if you wonder why. As a matter of fact, they were there when that concentration of power was set up in Washington, D.C., because they conceived of it. That's why they did not like the Articles of Confederation. See, I would go with the anti-federalists on this one, but that's past and done. 200 years history now. We are where we are, and there's no turning back. That has become plain to me, that there is no turning back. We are on the road to the end of the sixth millennia, and the frogs are croaking louder and louder and louder, that it's so hard for people to hear the truth, and that's why we have such a great delusion out here, as the scripture said it would be. Let's see. Comernity, yes, as part of our delusion there. Okay, so we continue here. Now, at the same time, I suspect the maestros, okay, a few miles south of where we live here in Moscow, there's a big altitude drop of about 2,000 feet into Lewiston. That means that there's a long, steep grade down the side of the hill, and periodically along the way are curated gravel ramps for trucks to plow into after their brakes have gone out. Truck drivers are hopefully reminded through the signage that there is no charge for availing oneself of this option when needed. Okay? We all understand the concept there. Now, the powers that be arrange for the brakes of our societal truck to go out, and all they needed to do was use the appropriate gravel ramp and then be acclaimed as heroes for having saved the day. Here is the vaccine, ta-da, and isn't it great? Aren't we great? All their new controls would have been in place, which they had successfully used in the lockdowns and masking orders and whatnot. And then they could wait just a bit before rolling out the next big manufactured crisis, rhymes with climate, in which they could exercise all their newfound powers. They could then, at their leisure, pour all their new mandates over our ungrateful heads. All they would have to do is pace themselves. That's hard for them to do. Plus, I don't think he realizes the real agenda here is also not just climate or climate control, which he says rhymes with climate. Okay, the next big manufactured crisis. But yeah, that's the big one. But the underlying plan behind all things is population reduction. And I believe that what's going on has a lot to do with population reduction. And I don't have to say any more. There's plenty out there. You know, go over to BitChute and look at and put in the word vac and scenes and do the proper spelling there. And you can go for days and days. How about that thing that just happened in Japan? They threw away a couple million doses of the jab scene, and because of metal, and it was magnetic. And remember a couple of months ago, people were putting magnets on their arms and stuff, and they were sticking to people. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. They're using glue, or their arms are sweaty, or whatever. But no, not so. So Japan throws away a couple million shots, but they're not destroying any of the same stuff elsewhere. Just a bad batch that only went to Japan. No, it isn't. It is the batch. It is what everybody's getting. That's why magnets are sticking to your arms, you know? Because they're putting that graphene or whatever it is in there. And that's poison. And these people are nefarious. There really are evil people in control of the world governments. And they don't care about you. They only care about themselves and maybe their families. But they don't care about you. And, you know, a few friendly fire casualties are very acceptable to them, as long as it brings about the greater good, according to their master, Satan. and the earth, saving the earth. Yeah. Oh, really? Let's see. WW says Japan didn't throw them rotted vax away. They sold them to Gavin Newsom's California residents. Really? I didn't get that. You got a quotation or an article or a link for that there, WW? Boy, oh boy, that's something that I need to get to start, matriculating throughout California if I can. You got an article on that. I sure would like to see it. But hey, if Japan, I guess, can get money for them, I guess they'll buy them back and sell them to California. WW says, just heard it on BitChute. Well, okay, we'll put a link on there. People can make up their own mind. I'd like to make up my own mind on that one, but I believe it. Yeah, I believe these people, that there are evil people in government. And until we come to that realization, we're going to be in big trouble. And that's basically what this article is all about, that I'm sharing with you. Okay. So all they would have to do is pace themselves, but they get a little anxious, don't they? And not only that, I'm over here praying for, the derision, because I love it when the derision comes, because the truth comes out, and that throws them into derision. When they can't hide things, when the truth bubbles over the top, see, because the truth will always out. So it's a good thing to pray for. That way we can wake up more people. We resist, and we spread the truth as much as we can, and things don't always go according to plan for us, and less for them. But they've been working for generations on this plan. And not only that, their master, Satan, has been working for centuries. Yes, even millennia. But their problem was that they spooked everybody way too well. And so we just blew by the last escape ramp. It turns out that the panic porn is addictive, just like other forms of porn are. Some people need to be scared, and they need to wear masks, and they need to feel all trembly in the knees. So we are now confronted with a very long line of variants, which will also be as deadly as the first one, which is to say, not very. But in the meantime, the kings of science have successfully persuaded millions of people that it is necessary to act as though these variants were way deadlier, you know? And what do they tell you? Well, we told you to do it once, and we told you to do it twice, and it's still not working, so we keep doing what doesn't work. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Something suspicious going on here, and especially when people believe it. Okay, so the variants were way deadlier. And so, as I've recently observed myself, he says, the gullible will stroll through town all by themselves on a sunny day in August with a mask on, acting as though it might even be an approximation of reasonable behavior. Sorry about that caps thing. I am done. I'm not sure what that means. Sorry about that caps. Oh, him using all caps. Okay. I am done, he says. I guess I should have enunciated his capitalized words there. But keeping all the normal people living in a constant state of emergency is not tenable. As a brief glance at New York and Los Angeles, or way to go, Melbourne, will tell you, there will be a pileup of some sort at the bottom of the grade, or mudslide or meltdown. And, I'm running out in this article. And so I suggest you, take this article, read it for yourself. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. Build back better, huh? Thanks for that, Wordsworth, Mr. Wordsworth there. Great article. And he's got his 7 principles regarding fake IDs, like, don't make it on a paper napkin. If you're going to make a fake ID, at least make it look like it's not fake, or whatever, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So I'm going to leave it in your capable hands between you and the Holy Ghost, who works in all of us to take it from there on a personal basis. There's no one size fits all here. We all have to act according to the information we have and with prayer, supplication. Keep yourself in God's Word. Every day, make sure you're reading His Word. Make it part of who you are. Eat it. Eat God's Word. Swallow it whole and let it become part of you, spiritually speaking. Okay, we're going to take a break here. I have a few messages and some news, and I will be back after the news, and we're going to talk about prophecy. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And I think in this hour, I wanted to save this for the second hour because we get into more some nuts and bolts of prophecy and looking at another author's work here. I wanted to go through with this and look at his ideas which I have rejected in the past because of, well, what I found in the scripture. And some of these ideas were developed before and into the beginning of the 19th century. And a lot of people have rested there and not moved forward in prophecy, as if prophecy only goes up to that point and then doesn't move beyond it. and for the expositors to make some of the claims that they made then, trying to fit things that hadn't happened yet into the past, is an easy mistake to make. So I'll just start with the title of this article here. And I've looked at this man's books. He's even quoted me in one of his books verbatim. And, he attributes the quote where he quotes me to E.B. Eliot. So, I'm honored to have a quote taken from one of my books that I published and have it attributed to a great man like E.B. Eliot. But even E.B. Eliot, was in error on some things, especially because he believed that, the seventh millennium would begin at the end of the 19th century. He thought that they were that close, but of course, we had more prophecy needed to be fulfilled and some that had to be corrected from there on. And so anyway, I look at it. I was looking at one of his articles because he posted it on social media. So I had to take a look at it. And the title of this article is The Earth Beast of Revelation 13 Are the Jesuit Generals of Rome. Well, just opening, the title is wrong. There's some cognitive dissonance there. This doesn't make sense. So there's confusion in the very title. The Earth Beast of Revelation, singular, if he said, if the Earth Beasts of Revelation are, you know, it sounds like this new gender thing where, you know, call me they and stuff. And, you know, I believe they have legions of demons. So it may be more appropriate. But what's going on here? How does this appear in an article on Bible prophecy? The Earth Beast of Revelation 13 are the Jesuit generals of Rome. Well, it's a nice idea, I guess. But, you know, there's a problem with the thesis in that the sentence doesn't make sense. Because you have a singular and it, you're saying they're plural. So let's move on. We'll overlook the title of the article. Maybe it's just something to look over. So he goes on, many people teach that the earth beast is America. But remember that the last beast of Daniel is Roman. Okay, that's an interesting sentence. You know, that's called I call that a non sequitur. You know what a non sequitur is, right? Yeah, I looked it up for you just in case you don't know what a non sequitur is. An inference or conclusion that does not follow from the premise or evidence. A statement that does not follow logically from what preceded it. Yeah, that's what a non sequitur is. Many people teach that the earth beast is America. But remember that the last beast of Daniel is Roman. Well, of course the last beast of Daniel is Roman. There are four beast powers named explicitly in Daniel, and the last one is the Roman beast. It's right. But because that's right, he's inferring that because that's right, that his opening statement is wrong. But, okay, so we have a nonsense, title, and then we have a non sequitur that he opens with. Okay, well, I should be exhausted by now. Okay, and now I don't know what's going on here. He has this indented, so I don't know if this is a quote. It doesn't say why that's indented here, and he does that throughout the article. So I don't know whether that's him commenting, or this is the comment, or this is a quote, or that's a quote. I don't know what's going on there. When I quote someone in my books, of course, I give credit for the quote so that people know who I'm quoting, and I do indent it, okay? So you'll notice that if you read my Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, if I'm quoting another work, I always indent it like that. So maybe he's quoting someone else. Let's see. It has changed forms over the years from the Roman Empire to the popes of the Roman Catholic Church, which reigned for 1260 years from 538 to 1798 AD, to the Jesuit generals who took control of the Vatican are using it to gather the world under their power. Oh, that's quite a statement. It has changed. What is it? Okay, I'm looking for the antecedent it. Many people teach that the earth beast is America. Is America the it? But remember that the last beast of Daniel is Roman. So we have our non sequitur. So I'm going to guess that the it is Rome, or Roman, referring to Roman, which is, yeah, Rome, which is not really named, but Roman means Rome-like, or appertaining to Rome. So it, I have to believe, is Rome. Okay, so we would say Rome has changed forms over the years from the Roman Empire. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Rome has changed forms over the years from the Roman Empire to the popes of Rome. I don't know, maybe this is just a bad article here. Okay, summary. Oh, we get a summary. Now maybe I can understand what he's trying to say. He's going to summarize it for us. Okay. The Jesuit general caused Napoleon's army to capture the Pope and take him prisoner in 1798 AD, ending the reign of the popes of Rome. The top Jesuits pretend to be Christians, lamb-like, Okay, there's an inference he has in parentheses there. Lamb-like. Says like a lamb, has two horns like a lamb. So he's probably inferring somehow that the Jesuits are the second beast or the two-horned earth beast of Revelation. So there's an inference there. But they worship Satan the dragon. Jesuit priests have spread around the world to now cause 1.2 billion Catholics to revere, worship the Pope. And Jesuit Pope Francis is now drawing Protestants, the Orthodox Church, Muslims, and all people groups under the power of Rome. So that's a summary of what we read here in so far, but that's a huge leap if that's a summary of the first two statements. The Jesuits control the city-state of the District of Columbia, through which they control America. I agree with that. That's a statement of fact. Okay, we're finally getting to some facts here. They use their intelligence agencies and the American military to take control of other countries of the world, which is why America has military bases around the world and why America is almost always involved in some sort of war. Well, that's a true statement. This is a quote from somewhere. I don't know where. Maybe if I scroll down, I can find where these quotes are coming from, these indented things, but I don't know. There's no footnotes or anything, so I don't know why or where these quotes are coming from. Okay, well, I'm going to jump back up here. But I'm just trying to illustrate the problem with his, and all of this to support his thesis that the Earth Beast of Revelation 13 are the Jesuit generals of Rome. So it's just this whole thesis is problematic in the way he's building it. He's using true statements that have nothing to do with his thesis because they're true. And I think the tact here is to present truth and then to present your thesis. And because the more truth you surround your thesis is, then your thesis appears to be true. Is that right? Does that sound good to you? That the thesis is true because you put true facts around it. Now, I hope, you know, that I've done a better job, in my book on Reformed prophecy interpretation than this. I always try to get my facts from the Bible. It's like, okay, his thesis here, which he doesn't support at all. The first problem with his thesis is the Earth Beast of Revelation 13 are the Jesuit generals of Rome. Okay, and then he says that the last beast of Daniel is Roman. That's the truth. But that doesn't support his thesis at all. America and the Earth Beast are not mentioned in Daniel. Or is he trying to say that the fourth beast, the fourth sea beast of Rome, is the same as the earth beast? See? It's confusing. But here's what I've learned. I looked to the scripture, and I saw in Daniel 7 and 8, four beasts came up out of the sea. And each beast, in succession, assimilated the beast before it, until the fourth beast, which had seven heads and ten horns, assimilated all of the beast powers before it, or at least the three named beast powers. And I have to assume if there were any beast powers before those three named beast powers that preceded Rome, that it swallowed those up too. But we're just going to stick to what the scripture actually explicitly states to learn what is a beast power and whether something qualifies for a beast power. Okay, so the three beast powers that were swallowed up by the fourth beast power, the last beast of Daniel, the Roman beast, all of these rose up in a locality. They had these beast powers were over a specific locality on the earth, the old world represented by the sea, which is interpreted in Daniel and explicitly in the Revelation to be represent multitudes and nations and tongues, or a highly densely populated area, i.e. Western Europe. Okay, we'll put it there. So this is what we learn from the beasts that are enumerated and named, that each one rose up in that highly densely populated locality, what the sea represents. Okay, they were actual governing authorities over a a specific locality on planet Earth in the Western Roman Empire. And then when one rose up, it assimilated the one before it, because it rose up in the same locality, the sea. So we have four in succession named explicitly in Daniel, four beast powers that ruled over a specific locality on the earth, and the same locality represented by the sea, and each one assimilated the one before it. So we kind of have an idea of what a beast power is. This is where we're supposed to get our idea of what a beast power is, from the scripture. Until we get to the revelation, we don't realize, because there are seven beast powers that are enumerated in the book of Revelation. Now this beast power, the fourth one, was different from the other ones that came before it. Because, and what was the difference? It had seven heads. All of the other ones only had one head. So that was the difference. And how do we determine what the seven heads are? Well, we could debate that. But I've come to my conclusion, and I couldn't come to that conclusion until I read chapter 17 of the Revelation. Well, actually, the entire Revelation. Then it became clear to me, because there's a riddle in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation that, to use his word, decodes it for you. It decodes everything for you so that you can go, aha. And I cover that, of course, in my exposition on the Revelation and in this book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. The exposition on Revelation looks just like this book. There are two books, about 200 pages each. Really all you need to know to learn everything you need to know about apocalyptic interpretation, and points you to everything else you could look at that is worthwhile to understanding apocalyptic revelation. So, am I boring anyone to death with this? Getting into these details? Well, I hope not. That's why I saved it for the last hour, because I wanted to go in deep here. So we have these four beast powers. So now we understand that a beast power that rises up in a certain locality assimilates the beast powers before it. Now, if we use these four beast powers, the only ones that the Bible explicitly gives to us, we have to say that they make up rules. They are the rules for understanding what beast powers are and what they are when they're named in other parts of apocalyptic scripture. Should I be doing this on the air? Can I get a yes or an amen in the chat room? Or is this a little too deep and a little too much for you? Let me know. So anyway, we have these four explicitly named. They are named beast powers. And if we're going to make up rules for what a beast power is, so that we understand what a beast power is when it's named elsewhere in the scripture, we have to look to what the scripture explicitly gives to us. So what we learned so far is that a beast governs, is a governing power over a certain locality on the earth. And explicitly, in our case of the four beast powers, in this locality that is represented by the sea. Now, so there's a rule. A beast is a governing authority over a locality. Rule number two. The locality is, in these four beast powers, is named and is represented by the sea, meaning multitudes and nations and tongues and peoples. So there's a lot of people there. Yeah, it's a densely populated area, comparatively, but it definitely is explicit. And we learned that in these beast powers, when one rises up, if it rises up in the same locality, at least, the sea, it assimilates the one before it. And also water is, or a flood, which is also water, represents war or conquest. We learn that explicitly through the Old Testament and through the Revelation. So the water can represent both a flood, and it can represent highly densely populated. And in this case, where they rise up in the same locality, there is warfare and a conquering and an assimilation involved if they rise up at least in the same locality, the sea. And so we see this happen. Each one rose up It assimilated and conquered the one before it until we get to the Roman Empire, which assimilates everything before it in the same locality. And it governs over that locality with everything that it has assimilated. And thus ends the beast power revelation in Daniel and in the Old Testament. We have a new beast introduced. First, we have seven enumerated, and it says, and the eighth is of the seven. So there's really only seven. One that it exerts itself again at the end is enumerated as the eighth. So obviously, it must subside somewhere in history where it needs, something has to happen in order for it to come back and exert its power again. So, but there's the seventh, because the sixth was the fourth beast of Daniel, which is the Roman Empire. But John in the Revelation says that it's the sixth. It's the one that is existing at the time he wrote. There's one that is, and that was the Roman Empire. It was present with John. So that means five came before it, of which three are named by the scripture, and then we would have to go into history using the rules that we have with the named beast powers, those that are explicitly named, you know, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and then Rome. Explicitly named. There's no question about that. The Bible names them. So we use the rules, if we go back before that, for the ones that, if Rome is the sixth and the fourth of Daniel, then we know that there were several before that. But we won't get into that now. You'll have to read my book or other, look at my other publications and postings on the internet to find out who they are. So we have those rules. So those are the rules we need to use now to discover who the seventh is, the one that has not yet come and must continue a short space. But this one comes up out of the earth. So what does that mean? That would mean, by the rules that we have from the beast's revelations in Daniel, that it isn't necessary for the sea beast to conquer or assimilate this beast power. Because if it conquered and assimilated it, they would become the same beast. Somehow this beast must stand alone and off to the side. And it says that this beast, the seventh beast, even comes alongside and helps Rome, the fourth beast of Daniel, or the sixth enumerated of the Revelation by St. John. So it comes alongside and helps it, but it remains a separate and existing, coexisting beast power, according to Revelation 13. Not only that, it helps it so much that it makes an image of a beast. Now, what is an image of a beast? And we're going to go into a break here. So we're going to talk about how does an image of a beast, how do we understand by what has been revealed to us explicitly in the scripture, what an image of a beast is, and what does that mean, and how do we interpret that apocalyptic symbol when we come back? Now, many of you already know this because many of you have read my book. You've got my book on my exposition of the Revelation, and you've read that too, and you've also read perhaps E.B. Eliot's Hoary Apocalypticae, the Reformation Quincentennial Edition that we published here some years ago. And you can get that free by going to jorgeapocalyptica.wordpress.com. You can read it all there for yourself free. Okay. I'm Nicholas Arthur. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you.